And welcome to another edition of Sports with Friends. Just like that, we have another edition. And they're coming fast and furious now. We've got many more as time goes on. And thanks to the folks on Twitter, I have been asked to say what episode number this is. It is episode number 49. Can you believe we have 49 episodes of Sports with Friends? The rule on Sports with Friends, if this is your first time listening, it's very simple. I've had a 19-year sports career. I've made a lot of friends. I only put friends on. They usually have some kind of connection. And our guest today went to the same university as I did. He, of course, is a noted NFL writer for the New York Daily News. He is an author. He has authored a number of different books, including one about a great subject, a subject that is going to take place this Sunday that are meeting once again. He wrote a book about the rivalry between Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. And about a month ago, I did a segment for MSNBC with our guest today. Gary Myers was fantastic. We got great feedback on the interview that we taped. All of a sudden, I said to him then, I need to have you on the podcast. Well, let's face it. Need was not the right word. Wanted. I wanted him to be on the podcast. When the New England Patriots and Denver Broncos both win to face each other in the AFC title game, that became a need. So I am indebted to Gary Myers, who has done 323 radio shows this week in anticipation of this football game. He's got some time with us for us on Sports with Friends. Gary, thank you so much for doing this. How are you? How many radio appearances have you done?
I would say the first 3 days of the week I've done about 40. And I have about another 30 to go between and until Friday night, where I'm going to try to shut it off somewhat. I've done SportsCenter on ESPN in a studio in the city. I've done a couple of NPR shows. CBS This Morning has asked me to come on Saturday morning, which I'm excited about doing. And hopefully it will all result in many, many sales of my book this week.
Well, that's the idea. I mean, that's literally the idea. You're just you're trying to sell the book. Let's talk quickly about the rivalry, and then we'll get to the book. You know I'm going to do the book justice. The book is titled Brady versus Manning, The Untold Story of the Rivalry That Transformed the NFL. I almost look at this week as being unfair. And if you're listening to this after the game, you know what happens. But if you're listening to this prior to the game, it's unfair because one is clearly older than the other. And even though they faced off each other, there's so many of these matchups took place when both were in their prime. Peyton Manning just doesn't look like Peyton Manning. What's your estimation on this chapter of the rivalry, given the fact that Manning looks so much different?
Well, you know, first of all, Seth, they're only 16 months apart. Peyton's going to be 40 the end of March, and Tom will be 39 in August. But right now, it looks like they're about 20 years apart.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, and you know what's the amazing thing is it's only 2 years ago that Peyton set the NFL record with 55 touchdown passes. I mean, it's only 2 years ago. And in the last year and a half, you know, his body has really betrayed him. And watching the game Sunday against the Steelers, it just looked, every time he took the field, that it was 200 yards long. And it was just going to take forever to him methodically move him down the field because he can't hit a pass, you know, more than 20 yards unless it's a short pass and the receiver, you know, takes it a ways. But every pass is a struggle now. He's just a shell of his former self, and he's getting by now on the fact that he's still the smartest player on the field.
Right.
He has a decent running game, and Denver plays real good defense. So, you know, for the first time in his career, he's turned into a game manager.
Well, and that was my next question was, you know, and we'll get to Brady, but this idea that Peyton Manning is the smartest guy on the field, he still reads defenses brilliantly. And you can see it. I mean, the audibles that he calls, the way he manages the field, he does have all of that. Can the Patriots exploit that weakness, or is he too smart for that?
Well, Belichick has always given him a hard time, especially earlier in his career. And I mean, well, the rivalry is Manning versus Brady. The matchup is really Manning versus Belichick. And Belichick certainly knows by watching, you know, the tapes of Manning from Sunday is that most of his completions are now going to come on the short stuff over the middle. So I would anticipate that Belichick will come up with something to take that away and then force Manning to try to complete passes of more than 15 yards, which is where his accuracy and his velocity diminish. So I just think they're going to have a hard time moving the ball unless they can really get the running game going, you know, get some play-action stuff going to force the defense in, and maybe that'll open up some passing lanes. But, Peyton has never had an Elway arm, not even close. But now he isn't even close to having a Manning arm.
Yeah, that's the one difference. You know, I remember because I covered the Denver Broncos when John Elway was in his last couple of years, and I remember their first Super Bowl. That was my second year covering the team. Mm-hmm. But you had to respect Elway. He had the deep ball threat. He had Rod Smith. He had Shannon Sharp. He had options. Terrell Davis was the best player on that team, but it was not I would love to have seen John Elway in his prime to have a guy like Terrell Davis. Like, you could just imagine what that combination is. Here you're in a situation where he's clearly, it's his team. He has to go out like this. It has to continue. I had asked you on MSNBC, and I ask you the same question now. Are you surprised he's still playing?
I would think that if last year had ended a little bit better, that he might have been more inclined to walk away. But, you know, he was hurt towards the end of the year. He played horribly in a playoff loss to Indianapolis. So I'm not surprised that he came back. I'm not sure that Denver really wanted him back. They made him take a $4 million pay cut. I think more in the here and now, I'm surprised that he's playing Sunday. Because when he got hurt, he was playing horribly. And Brock Osweiler stepped in. He won in Chicago, and then he beat the Patriots on Thanksgiving weekend, coming back from a 14-point deficit, and they won in overtime. I'm convinced that if Osweiler had continued to play at the same level, that regardless of Peyton's health, that Gary Kubiak was not going to switch back to him. But Peyton got healthy, and Osweiler's play slipped, and it created an opportunity for Peyton. But again, I just think it's almost sad to watch him now. It's like watching Joe Namath with the Rams and Willie Mays fall down in center field in the 73 World Series. I wrote this the other day. It's like Michael Jordan going to the Wizards and no longer having his legs, so his jump shot wasn't there. To see the great players go out like this, to me, it's really a shame. Now, Seth, all that being said, he's two victories away from winning the Super Bowl.
Right, from the Super Bowl.
And, I mean, he missed seven games. In which,
right, my heart bleeds for him.
Yeah. He missed seven games. You know, he got his body in as good a shape as possible and as healthy as possible going into January. So he's got a shot. I mean, it's not like he can't throw at all. And it's not like he's not going to be able to outsmart Belichick in certain instances. And, you know, he has probably the best defense he's ever played with. So, you know, it's all possible that they can win on Sunday. I don't think that they will. And then, you know, if they do win Sunday, then beat either Arizona or Carolina. I mean, who knows? But he's so close now to getting that second title that he's going to be so driven to play well on Sunday. But he also has a lot of pressure on him because I'm convinced he's going to retire after this year. So this is his last shot.
Yeah, it looks like it is that role. Let's go to Brady for a second because it's also very interesting. You know, he starts the season mired in controversy. The Deflategate thing had a shelf life that a lot of people didn't think would be oversold. I found that when the injury started, Brady really started to play really great football. He had so many weapons taken away from him. The interesting thing, and Tony Maserati had a great article in one of the Boston papers just this afternoon. You know, we're recording this on the Wednesday before the game. You know, let's not forget the game is in Denver because the Patriots fell asleep against the Philadelphia Eagles. That, I mean, they can't deny that. I wonder if that motivates them. How much of an advantage can the fact that Brady doesn't have the home field for this one, when in all accounts, he should have had it?
Well, not only the Philadelphia game, but then they lost the last two games of the year against the Jets and Dolphins on the road. Either one of those victories, and this game is in New England on Sunday. Brady's 2-5 in Denver in his career, and that includes an 0-2 record in the playoffs there. So, you know, clearly he'd rather be playing this game at Gillette Stadium. I'm not sure why Belichick took his foot off the pedal at the end of the season, because home field in the NFL, especially in this round, I think is really important. And he just basically handed home field to Denver. And now we'll find out Sunday whether that costs him. I won't say it will be the determining factor, but, you know, playing before a hostile crowd, and the Denver crowd can be really loud, I would think that Belichick should have been a little more aggressive in trying to win those last two games. It looked to me, Seth, that he was looking to try not to get anybody else hurt going into the playoffs.
Right, right. He had the playoffs, and it didn't seem to be that big a deal. One controversy has kind of been moved aside. There's the other controversy about Peyton Manning and the HGH. I know in your 500 radio hits, you must have been asked about this. Is his legacy tarnished in any way? I noticed no sponsors pulled anything. Look, there's a lot more to that than meets the eye. There was the, you know, questioning of the report, the questioning of all the stuff. It's not very clear. The whole thing is a little muddied. But do you think this plays any role in the overall legacy of Peyton Manning?
Not unless more information comes out that proves that he was using HGH, because the information that we have right now, you know, is done by a broadcast network that in a couple months is going out of business, whose main source on the story recanted prior to the report even being aired.
Right.
There's nobody who's uncovered anything since that report came out to corroborate it. And Seth, I really believe this, and I'm not downgrading the quality of work that Al Jazeera America does. I don't know enough about them to really pass judgment on them. But
right.
I would venture to say that there was a good deal of people in this country that had no idea that network existed. And and if it was done by, say, Mind Paper, which the Daily News has done great work on the steroid stories over the years. We've been way ahead of most everybody.
Yes.
If it was done by, say, ESPN and one of their like TJ Quinn, one of their investigative guys who's really plugged in, then the story would have had more credibility. The fact mm-hmm. that it was done by this outfit and their main guy recanted, and nobody has since shined any light on this that anything wrong occurred, the story's faded away pretty quickly. And Peyton has so much credibility and has built up so much goodwill that when he came out and vehemently denied it, people believed him.
I've known the Manning family. I know Archie and I know Eli very well. And, you know, I needed to see more. I do want to make one statement, because if you're listening to this and you know I have been on Al Jazeera America, I have done some freelance work for them. I don't know the people who broke the story. If I did, I would admit it. If I did, I'll be honest, I'd have it on the podcast. I don't. I know people who work there and soon to be worked there. And I'm sorry for that network's fate. I just wanted to make sure I got that out for anybody listening.
Right.
I'm not going to. If I had more information, I would easily bring it forward. All right. I want to ask you in our remaining moments about the book. Before that, though, what's your prediction for Sunday?
Well, I think New England will win this game. I just think at this point, they're healthier than they've been really at any point this season. Brady has his weapons now. He's got Gronk healthy. He's got Edelman as healthy as he's going to get after he broke his foot against the Giants a month or so ago. Amendola's healthy. The offensive line has gotten a little bit healthier. And Brady's been pretty healthy all season. He sprained his ankle a couple weeks ago, but he looked fine against Kansas City. I just don't know that the Denver defense can prevent Brady from scoring enough, you know, hold him down enough that Peyton is going to be able to match it and then exceed it. So I just think the Denver offense is so limited now because they don't have a great running game. I mean, they have good receivers, but I'm not sure Peyton can get them the ball. And so I really look for New England to win this game. And I'm picking something like 27-20. It might not even be that close. I really think New England is a superior team at this point in the season.
Yeah, I make no secret about my connection to the Broncos. I spent many years there and have continued to keep contacts with a lot mm-hmm. of people over there in Denver. So yeah, my heart says Broncos, but you're absolutely right. The New England is healthier than they've ever been. A couple of the things I want to ask on the podcast for that. First of all, I am going to be posting the link to the video segment that Gary and I did. I can post that again on Twitter at Seth_Everett. Gary, what's your Twitter handle? I follow it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's at Gary Myers NYDN for New York Daily
News. NYDN, right. Right, for NYDN. So I can post that video. So some of these questions I'm going to ask again. When you talk about their rivalry and history, history is a big word. Football's been around for a long time. It's not something I know you to throw around lightly. How significant is this rivalry? Because that's one of the key things that you address in the book.
I think it's extremely significant. I think it's the best individual rivalry in NFL history, despite the fact they're never on the field at the same time. Usually when we think of rivalries in the NFL, it's more about, you know, teams, you know, like the Steelers and the Cowboys playing those Super Bowls in the 70s and, you know, pick any other great rivalry you can think of. And that's where rivalries are more identified with, you know, great stuff like the Cowboys and the Redskins or the Giants and the Eagles or, you know, the Raiders, teams. Broncos. You know, it's all about teams. There's been very few individual rivalries that have really captured the imagination of football fans. And I think this one just stands out so far and above anything else. I mean, better than, you know, Aikman and Steve Young played each other 3 out of 4 years in the NFC Championship game, but nobody ever said, wow, you know, back to the years of Aikman and Young fighting it out to go to the Super Bowl. It was more the Cowboys and the 49ers. This one is almost bigger than the game. And just the reaction I've gotten this week, people want to talk to me about my book, has just been overwhelming. And it really just accentuates, you know, how big a part of, you know, the American sporting life this Brady versus Manning competition has been over the last 15 years.
The stories are, first of all, they're both very dramatic. You know, Tom Brady wasn't drafted very high. He came in, Drew Bledsoe got hurt. Tom Brady comes in, the rest is history. He has the championships. Manning has this amazing regular season number. He doesn't have the championships. He has the one, but he doesn't have the same amount of rings. He has had playoff failure. And the very interesting aspect of Manning is people say that his lack of playoff success has tarnished his legacy. It's a different kind of tarnish. It's not a criminal situation.
Right.
It's a different kind of tarnished legacy. I always thought the one that got away was the Super Bowl against Seattle. I thought that Broncos team was good. He didn't play well, and that was disappointing for him. He's not the same player now. How much can success going back to the Super Bowl? Either way, I think whatever AFC team that wins on Sunday, they're an underdog against Carolina or Arizona. That being said, what can Manning do to solidify that legacy? Or will history look at him and say, oh, that was just in the thrill of the competition. Once it's all said and done and he's inducted into the Hall of Fame, his legacy isn't tarnished at all.
Well, I think that the narrative on his career changes somewhat, Seth, if he's able to win these next two games and get his second ring. Because then all of a sudden, I think the criticism, you know, Peyton having right now he has a losing record in the playoffs, and nine different times his team has lost its first playoff game, which is the most for any quarterback in history. If he can get that second ring, I think that just puts him on a different level. You know, it separates him from, you know, great players like Brett Favre and not so great players like Trent Dilfer and Brad Johnson. Now, I'm just talking about in terms of Super Bowl rings. Obviously, you know, Peyton is far superior to guys like Dilfer and Brad Johnson. But I think if he loses Sunday or loses in the Super Bowl, I think, you know, a big part of when we talk about Peyton Manning's career, we're going to talk about how he underachieved for as great a player as he was in the regular season, probably the best regular season quarterback in NFL history. When it came time to the playoffs, he just didn't get it done. And you can go back to college when he never beat Florida. So I really think this is a huge game Sunday for him, and then it will be a huge Super Bowl if he gets to it. Because I do think his legacy, you know, some people might think it's intact regardless. Obviously, he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but I think his legacy is thought of a lot differently if he gets that second ring.
Gary, you have so many other achievements in your journalism career. You wrote the book The Catch. I remember the Coaching Confidential book. I have both of those. This one was unique because I think that everybody can relate. My last question to you, do you find that people are either fans of Brady or Manning? Can anybody be a fan of both or neither?
Well, I think it's different than, say, in New York, you can't be a Mets and Yankee fan, or, you know, you can't root for the Yankees and the Red Sox. I think outside of New England and then, you know, Indianapolis and now Denver, fans can certainly, you know, if they don't have a tremendous allegiance to a team in their own city or they live in a city that doesn't have a team, I don't see any reason why you can't have been a fan of both these guys. I mean,
no, but I get the sense that people either they pick one. I agree that, yes, obviously New England and Indianapolis,
yeah,
and Denver, I get that. I get the sense that people, yes, everyone has great respect for their careers, but you are either a Brady or a Manning. You're a Montague or a Capulet. You're a Coke or a Pepsi. Like, you're a Brady or a Manning. You're not both.
You know, I never really thought of it like that. I almost look at it like anybody out of New England hates the Patriots, so they're probably all Manning fans, that the only people will be rooting for
you might be right,
for the Patriots are those people that live in the New England states. You know, because I think Brady is perceived as being an extension of Belichick's evil empire in New England, and that, you know, Belichick is very much disliked outside of New England, and Brady is an extension of that. I think a lot of people don't like him, even though I found him to be an extremely nice guy, and I enjoyed interviewing him for this book. You know, the Patriots are now, in a way, looked at as the Yankees when they're winning all those World Series not that long ago, that
more of the country hated the Yankees than liked it.
Exactly. And, you know, and that's generally true of a team that has a lot of success. There's a lot of jealousy from fans of other teams. But I think that the perception of these two guys is that Peyton is like an everyday guy that you can sit and have a beer with and just he's really friendly and personable. And a lot of that is true, but I think Brady is the same way, even though people don't look at him like that. You know, they see, you know, he's got the supermodel wife and all those Super Bowl rings, and he does real high-end endorsements. He doesn't let people know much about him in you know, publicly. But he tries to live as normal a life as somebody, you know, in that level of celebrity can possibly live. And he is all football, though. I mean, obviously family, but he has no other interests at this point professionally and that's why he said earlier this year he wants to play another 10 years. He's going to play as long as his body allows. And, you know, whether that's 1 year, 2 years, or if he makes those 10 years, that's what he's going to do. But he has enough pride that when he realizes that he can't be the same player anymore, I think he'll walk away. And I think Peyton is the same way. And I think now Peyton realizes that he can't put himself through another season like this. And there's no reason to think it's going to be any better physically for him. So I think this is the end of Peyton Manning's career, and we'll see if he can put an exclamation point on it.
Do you think, I know I said this is the last question, and I hate when radio people do this, but we're on a podcast. What do I care? Do you think Osweiler inherits that team, or do the Broncos have to go start over?
Well, I think they do like him. He's a free agent after the season, and he probably cost himself a bunch of money by not playing well to keep the job through the end of the season. But I think the Broncos have 4 years invested in him, and he showed enough during the seven games that he started for them to believe that you go through an entire off season with him and then training camp with him taking the first team reps. I think he showed enough that they're going to want to give him first shot at this job next year. You know, it makes sense that they'll want to draft somebody or at the very least bring in a veteran backup type to maybe compete with him a little bit in training camp, but then just be there as insurance in case, you know, he falls on his face or he gets injured. But I think Osweiler gets first shot at this job.
Well, you know, it's funny. You know, you look at the Broncos franchise, they meandered for a while after John Elway in that Super Bowl run.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be very interesting. You know, I know that franchise. When I covered that franchise, it was Elway. It was Elway's team. It was Elway's everything. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've told my story about how John Elway saved me my career one day. There's this great story about how he found a cassette that I had dropped. The franchise ramped up again when Manning came. And I give Elway tons of credit because the parallels were so there. No, they're not the same style. They're not the same thing. But a veteran quarterback in the tail end of his
mm-hmm.
career leading this Denver team, the parallel is so there. It's fascinating to me to see how they've done it. And John Elway knows what the Broncos didn't do in the days after his retirement. So I'm very interested to see. I'm not going to sit here and I don't want to sound like Denver Sports Radio in that I'm not going to say that Elway, this is where Elway makes his money. No, Elway got Manning to sign there. He did a great job. He went to one, maybe two Super Bowls.
That's right.
Great job by John Elway. But it's going to be very, very interesting to see where they go from here.
I agree with you, but I think that Elway has a very good feel for that team and a very good feel for what it takes to build a winner. And I would suspect that that they'll still be extremely competitive and, you know, certainly potentially Super Bowl contenders after Peyton is no longer there.
Yeah. It's very, very fascinating. Gary, 10 radio stations have called while we've been doing this podcast. get to work. Again, for those of you, and I'm going to put the link on the podcast. We're also going to post this on Sports Blog, so if you go there, you can find it. It's Brady versus Manning, the untold story of the rivalry that transformed the NFL. It's a fantastic read. I recommend it highly. Thank you so much for giving us a couple of minutes, and enjoy the games on Sunday, and I'll see you when football season's over.
Well, thanks, Seth, and if I can just add in there that, you know, the book is available for anybody who wants it on Amazon or, you know, any of the major bookstores.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Got to get a little commercial in there, right?
No, I figured that was a given. Yes, wherever you can get books, it's there. It's there. Go to a brick-and-mortar store, go to a bookstore, go online, it's there. There's an ebook version of it. There's a million things. Just read this book. It's a good read. It's a quick read. It's a really compelling book. Gary, again, we do need to have lunch. We need to sit down. We need to do this off the air. But thanks again for popping on the podcast.
Yes, Seth, I really enjoyed talking to you. Thanks a lot.
You got it. That's Gary Myers. I'm Seth Everett. This has been Sports with Friends. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for downloading. We really appreciate the support, and we'll be on with much, much more content coming up very, very soon.
If you want me to stay, I'll be around today to be available for you to see. to stay. I got to be me. You'll never be in doubt. That's what it's all about. You can't take me for granted and smile. Calvin, please, I'm gone. Forget reaching me by phone. Because I promise I'll be gone for a while. When you see me again, I hope that you have been the kind of person